Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Friday edition, News Radio 1070 WKOK, stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and our shows are also available as a podcast at stevejonesshow.com, as well as the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. We encourage you to subscribe. Thanks to everybody that checked into the podcast within the past week for Steve's full hour last Thursday with Brad Spider Caldwell. Great episode there. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Specials now through Tuesday. Pabst Blue Ribbon 24-pack, 16-ounce cans are $16.98. And Smith & Forge 12 packs are $8.77, 24 packs $16.98. Grab the dollies, get all that to your car. Easy in, easy out convenience, and of course all those great snacks too. We're going to be talking Labor Day holiday 2 weeks from today. Perfect time to stock up on what you'll need before you head to Penn State Akron on September the 2nd. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Speaking of Penn State football, we'll get to that in a second. Little League Baseball World Series in progress, and of course on Sunday night at 7, it'll be a terrific scene at historic Bowman Field with the Pirates and Cardinals. That'll be televised live on ESPN. Baseball reporter from ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, Tim Kirkchen, will join us at 3:35. Look forward to that. And next hour, we will have Kevin Jones, Steve's brother. He'll be joining us at 4:06. We'll have Kevin on a little earlier than normal. I guess Kevin wants to start his weekend earlier than normal. I know, we're used to having Kevin on at 4:35 on Fridays, so we'll move him up today. As I mentioned, some Penn State news. New contract extension for head football coach James Franklin. There are published reports, including one with Bruce Feldman from Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports. Said that Coach Franklin will be averaging $5.73 million per year. He was scheduled to make $4.7 million. Nice little bump up. So he's locked in through 2022. New contract places Franklin among the five highest paid coaches in college football, along with Saban, Harbaugh, Meyer, and Jimbo Fisher. Franklin, 45, leading Penn State to the 11-3 record last year in the Big Ten Championship, team's first since 2008, first outright title since 94. 3 years at Penn State, Franklin has compiled a record of 25-15. So congratulations to head coach James Franklin. Penn State did release a statement earlier today from James Franklin. He says, "My family and I are very thankful to be part of the Penn State community. I'm pleased with the progress our program has made in the community, in the classroom, and on the field. I look forward to diligently working with President Barron and Director of Athletics Sandy Barber on implementing a plan that puts our university and our student athletes in the best position to compete on the field and in life." So we'll be with you live till 5 here on WKOK. Then we will have the late day news roundup. Sarah Benick at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then for a bit tonight, CBS Sports Radio until we head for San Francisco for Phillies baseball. 9:40 will be the airtime, 10:15. First pitch between San Francisco and the Phillies. That'll be the second night of a four-game series. Giants with a 5-4 win over the Phillies last night. It was 5-1 at one point in the fifth inning. And coming up tonight, it'll be Zach Eflin, 1-4, Phillies right-hander on the mound. And for San Francisco, it'll be Matt Moore with a record of 3-12 and an ERA of 5.71. New England Patriots fear they've lost Derek Rivers for the season after the rookie defensive end suffered a torn ACL and sprained LCL. Rivers was New England's top pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, third-round choice out of Youngstown State. You'll get a second opinion to determine whether that surgery is necessary. Rivers went down on a kickoff coverage drill Wednesday in a joint practice with the Patriots and Houston Texans in West Virginia. Patriots traveled to Houston for their preseason game tomorrow night. Rivers was selected 83rd overall, projected to be part of a rotation at defensive end, arguably the Patriots' thinnest position entering training camp. And congratulations to former New York Yankees captain Derek Jeter and wife Hannah celebrating the birth of their first child. Derek, 43, Hannah, 27, married a little over a year ago, less than 2 years after the 14-time All-Star retired from baseball. They announced in February that Hannah was expecting. Both the Yankees and Players Tribune, which Jeter helped found, sent out congratulations via social media today to Bella Jeter. Birth was yesterday. Jeter is part of a group that has a $1.2 billion agreement to buy the Miami Marlins. The group is led by venture capitalist Bruce Sherman, who will be the controlling owner, and also includes NBA legend Michael Jordan. Jeter, 14-time All-Star shortstop, will be in charge of the business and baseball operations for the Marlins. Get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. And if you missed any of our live episodes, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on both Google Play and iTunes and the Apple Podcast app. By the way, because of the popularity of Steve's interview last Thursday with Spider Caldwell, I think what we will do, we will re-air that interview on Monday. How about that? Do that for you on Monday. Now, keep in mind, next week, Tuesday, Thursday, there are Phillies day games. So we'll be bumped a couple of days next week, so we will have shows for you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right, so we'll have some baseball talk, Little League World Series conversation, too, with Tim Kirkchin at 3:35, Kevin Jones 4:06, and then we'll have more baseball talk to wrap up the show at 4:35. And we'll also mix in the Sports Bozo of the Day. Those are always easy to find, so we'll have that for you, too. Sports reminder this weekend, Steelers do not play a preseason game till Sunday, and that'll be their first home game of the preseason, Heinz Field, 4 p.m. versus the Falcons. You'll be able to hear that in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Your home for the Black and Gold, 100.9 The Valley. The countdown to kick will be at 2 on Sunday. Eagles last night getting a 2016 win over Buffalo Bills. So the Eagles Week 3 dress rehearsal will be Thursday night against Jay Cutler and the Dolphins. That'll be 7 next Thursday over on Eagle 107.
That's the only one worth watching.
You think? Oh, Week 3? Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Week 3 is the only week that's worth watching. It's just, I actually watched a little bit of the fourth quarter of the Jacksonville-Tampa Bay game. Doug Marrone is what, he's the head coach of Jacksonville now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've got three timeouts, and they've got Tampa Bay what Jacksonville did in the last 2.5 minutes of that game last night, they're all backups in. But let's talk strategy for a moment. What in the heck is he thinking? Right, you got a second down and 1. Right, if you want to throw it on second down, fine. Okay? But on the third down, run and get the first down. Maybe you'll get a touchdown out of it and get yourself four more downs. Nope, threw three straight times, three straight incompletions. All right, but you still got three timeouts left. So he takes first down, stop him, timeout. Second down, all right, timeout. Okay, third down, no timeout. He lets 40 seconds run off the clock. And they get the ball back with 38 seconds to go. And they get, I'm like, well, who's running this show? I sat there and went, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, there was at least one time last night in the Philly-Buffalo game where it was late, it was fourth down, and Buffalo didn't go for it. It's time you practice that kind of stuff.
Exactly. What, I mean, what? Who cares if you lose the preseason game? Go for it. And it's just, I see strategy like that. If I'm the owners, if I'm Tom Coughlin, I'm sitting there like, what are you doing? You use all three of your timeouts there, and like they're going to take a safety anyway. But you're going to get the ball back with about a minute and 10, minute and 15 to go, instead of getting the ball back with 30-something seconds to go. I mean, hey, you can't do anything at that point because there's going to be a distance that you're going to have to cover because they're going to take a safety. You got to know that. Hey, and guess what Tampa Bay did? They took a safety. I'm who is running this show? I thought, oh, great. Yeah. Okay. James Franklin, new contract through 2022. That's the single most significant part of it to me is the years. Goes through the 2022 season. I know it's been reported that it's $5.8 million a year. You know, if it is, fine. I always tell this story. Remember when the Patriot News was trying to get through, I think it was Freedom Information Act, trying to get Joe Paterno's salary? Because, I mean, by getting his salary, it would then unlock the door to getting all the other salaries. And I remember going down, I've got to speak in Harrisburg tonight, and speaking to this group in Harrisburg right around when this was happening. And I remember a woman asking me how curious I was, or when might we find out what Joe's salary is. And when it might happen. And I looked at her and I said, no offense. I said, I don't really care what Joe's salary is. I said, I care what my contract says. I said, my contract pays my bills. I said, I think he's pretty well off. I said, that's always been my attitude about these things. I care a lot more about what my contract says. My contract pays my bills. But he is, he's signed through the 2022 season. It's an extension. Sandy Barber, I think, put it best. And she said, James and his staff have done an exceptional job with our football student athletes and in all aspects of the football program. His values are Penn State's values, and they resonate throughout every member of the organization and team he has built. And she went, she said some other things, too. James said, my family and I are very thankful to be a part of the Penn State community. I'm very pleased with the progress our program has made in the community, in the classroom, and on the field. Okay. So, heads into his fourth year, as we all know. And he's the real deal. He is, when you hear him talk about academics, he's deeply committed to academics. When you hear about community service, he is deeply committed to community service. He will spend time in team meetings when someone else across the country makes an unfortunate mistake. And he'll put it up there, the headline in the paper. And he'll show the players in the room. He said, look, he says, this can't be you. You've got to make the right choices. This can't be you. I'll tell you where he's vastly underrated, because I get to watch him all the time. He's vastly underrated as a teacher. He is a really good teacher. And he's vastly underrated when it comes to how precise and how detailed he is. Very precise, very detailed. I mean, I'm talking about the smallest detail does not escape him. I can give you many examples of things that a lot of people go, oh, really? And he's on it. And, you know, needs to get everything done in a certain way. And, of course, I've talked about what he's done with the big picture of the program. What he's done with the big picture of the program, which I've talked about many times, when others would have panicked. Now, you have to have the support of Sandy Barber to do this. You have to have the support of Phil Esten, David Gray, people like that, to do this. You know, you have to have their support, but to take the long-term view and redshirt players as if you had 85 instead of 65, redshirt players as if you had 85, even though you have 75, because you know the long-term health of the program depends on that kind of long-term view. A lot of people would have panicked and started ripping red shirts off of people, and he didn't do that. So that was the big news, obviously, of the day, that James got the contract extension. Now, they are going to put up, obviously, what the numbers are. ESPN's reporting the total numbers end up being $5.73 million per. It's about $1 million more than he was getting. The total deal worth $34.3 million over 6 years. That's what ESPN's reporting. I'm not too worried about the numbers. To me, the most important part were the years, because I knew he'd get the money anyway. Okay? All right. So that's the story there. And that's the big news of the day. All right, we'll take a break. Tim Kirkchin joins us today. My brother here today. We've got a lot going on today. All brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes, specials. Great specials at Brewers Outlet, including Pabst Blue Ribbon 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $16.98. Smith & Forge 12-pack, $8.77. 24-pack, $16.98. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention Central Pennsylvania. Now is the time to check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 25 brand new Elantras starting at $17,496. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all new Sonatas, $3,978. Choose from 24 Sonatas starting at just $18,967. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Why would you buy another import for more money and not as good of a warranty when you can save thousands at Sunbury Motors Hyundai? If an SUV is on your list, Sunbury Motors has 18 Tucson's starting at $20,993. Attention Central Pennsylvania. Now is the time to see what you can get for your money at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And it's sunburyhyundai.com. Now is the time, and Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the place.
All right, so James Franklin, contract extension through 2022. Bringing this program back. Remarkable job. Now they want to keep it going. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The Pickle Bar, all together now, second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Typical suit. Text, Little League World Series, Cards, Pirates, Steelers preseason, and IndyCar Pocono. PA is the center of the U.S. sports weekend. I texted it back, Yankees, Red Sox, Fenway Park. He texted back, 220 miles per hour. I texted back to him, games with stakes, national interest, as opposed to dot, 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 dot. Oh, I'm surprised I got a text. He usually takes Fridays off.
I'm surprised. Well, it's funny because there's other people that in the building that took today off, so he's kind of pretty much been locked down at his desk today taking care of things.
Okay. That's why he worked today. he knew everybody else was out.
Default.
You know, he's a lot more clever than we realize.
Smarter than the average bear.
Let's not go too far.
Okay.
Boo-boo. Ah, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. I know he's joined us a couple of times. Very pleased to have him join us one more time. And that is the outstanding Tim Kirkchin from ESPN with the Cardinals and Pirates getting ready for their game at Williamsport at Bowman Field coming up on Sunday night. Tim, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
My pleasure, Steve.
All right, so this game's going to take, but this to me has been one of the more ingenious moves I've seen any league make. What was your thought when you heard of the linkage between Little League Baseball and this game?
Well, I thought it was a great idea, and I think it's even greater now that I'm back here in Williamsport and I realize what's going to happen on Sunday. The big leagues comes to the little leagues, and it's just tremendous. I mean, Williamsport is such a great place, and I'm really thankful and hopeful that when the major leaguers arrive, they're going to appreciate the same thing, that this is baseball at its purest level here, and nobody here is here for any other reason than they love the game. And I think the big leaguers will be moved by all of this on a completely different level. I was in Fort Bragg last summer when the first major league game was played on a military base, and that was a great experience for everyone. And on a different level, I think this is going to be a great experience for everyone also.
When did you play Little League Baseball? How old were you when you started?
Well, let's see. I'm 60, and I started, as young as you possibly can back then. So I think my first league, I was 7, let's say. So I started in 1963, something like that, and it was all I could do. It's all I cared about back then, and it was a wonderful time for me. And in my house, this is all we ever talked about was baseball. My dad was really good player and just loved the game. And again, this is the only language we spoke in our house growing up.
Did he coach you?
Oh yeah, my dad was, like I said, really understood the game. So my two brothers are in the Catholic University Baseball Hall of Fame, and we played a lot as kids. And yes, my dad showed me the finer points of the game, and just as important, if not more, he gave me an appreciation for how great the game is, how it needs to be respected properly, and I'll always thank him for that.
What was the first major league game you went to, and what kind of impression did the major leaguers make on you, Tim?
Well, I know I went to a game at Griffith Stadium when I was a kid, but I was too young to remember that. But I remember going to RFK Stadium as a 5-year-old or so. And I mean, that's about my first memory. And I was just dazzled by the whole experience walking into a major league stadium. I was absolutely astonished by how big the players were and how green the grass was. And the whole thing just became like something that I just wanted to do for the rest of my life. And when I stopped playing after high school, I just said, all right, I got to stay in this somehow. And, being a part of it on a small level like I am now really makes me happy and has always made my father happy all these years.
I was 5. My first game was 1963. I was 5 years old, so we're relatively close in age. And it was Fenway Park, and it was the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I remember Mickey Mantle, he was hitting right-handed, hit one over the screen at Fenway, and Roger Maris also homered. When Mantle homered, that's the highest I ever saw my father jump. So you walk in, it's the same experience. You see the green grass, and like you, that's it. You're hooked on baseball the rest of your life.
Right, and sometimes that's all it takes. I also remember, different level, but sixth grade, Miss Thiebert, our teacher, told us, okay, we're going to put our pencils down. This is at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we're going to watch the World Series here. So we watched the Cardinals and the Red Sox play the 1967 World Series, and I was long gone for baseball at that point. But when a teacher tells you, okay, stop working, stop studying, we're going to watch baseball now, that was seriously an important moment in my life. And I knew this happened like at my house, but that's not supposed to happen at school, and it did. And I said, all right, this is really important.
Yeah, well, I was in New England at the time, and the Impossible Dream had all of us hooked, so we all got to watch at school, which was cool. When you watch, I know you're going to watch for the interaction between them, but I want to get to the Little League World Series part of it. You know, you cover, obviously, at the biggest level in the world, the best level in the world. When you go in there and cover this and you see the precision with which they play, what really strikes you about Little League Baseball when you watch the World Series?
What has struck me in now my third year here is how good the kids are around the bag, making the double play at second base. The footwork they have, how good their hands are, that has struck me the most. Not necessarily how strong they are, how far they can hit it, or how hard they can throw it, but as my favorite part of the game will always be the defense, especially in the middle infield. And when I watch these little kids, some of whom are under 5 feet tall, but their hands are so quick and their feet are so skilled, and they know how to make that double play, that's the thing that struck me 3 years ago. Oh, my goodness, I did not know kids of this age could make that play. That's what really struck me, and that's still the part that I enjoy the most.
What's the basic game plan as to how you want to attack this game on Sunday night? What are some of the basics? Is it talking to the Little Leaguers? Is it talking to the players about their Little League experiences? What's part of the plan of attack that we can watch for in the broadcast on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to interview Randall Grichuk of the Cardinals in our open to the show, to the game. And he played at Williamsport for 2 years. And, of course, I want to ask him what are his fondest memories of that time. What does he take away? How does he feel about it today? That's my favorite part. And on the sleeve of each player is a little patch with room to write in the name of somebody that influenced you the most in your baseball career. So I think there are going to be some really great stories when I ask, and I'm just making this up, Adam Wainwright has the name of a player or person, let's say, on that sleeve, and he's going to tell me how that person, whether it's a brother, father, whatever coach, whatever it is, affected him and made him believe or made him want to be a major league player. To me, that will be the best part, is the connection from the Little League to the major leagues.
Also, the other part is the minor league ballpark part. You mentioned Randall Grichuk playing 2 years in Williamsport. Andrew McCutchen began his career there. I remember doing broadcasting Gregory Polanco's first game up there. Tony Watts is not with the Pirates anymore, but I remember doing his first game. He went into the sixth inning with a no-hitter. The return to a, quote, minor league ballpark, is that part of this too or not?
I think it is, because I remember talking to Brian McCann, who's one of our more thoughtful players, about going back on a rehab assignment, and it really took him back. Even though he was a major leaguer going to the minor leagues just to get ready to return to the major league, he told me he looked in the eyes of all those young players, and it reminded him again just how hard it was to get to the big leagues and how everyone down there wanted so badly to get to where he is right now. and he said it gave me another new appreciation for how great it is to play in the big leagues, how hard it is to get here. And my hope is, my guess is, these players will look around and they'll think back to 2009 or 2004 or 2016 and remember just how, what it was like to play in a stadium that seated 2,500 people and what that meant to them and how hard it was to move from there to the big leagues. And maybe they'll get on the bus after the game and realize that was great because that reminded me of how I actually got to the big leagues.
You mentioned in a previous answer, Tim, about doing the Fort Bragg game last year between the Braves and the Marlins. Now, it's a completely different experience because this was with the military. But what kind of effect did that game have on the players when you talked to them while they were there and also afterward?
Well, that was, I think that had a profound effect on some of those players who sometimes our players, you know, have the sense of entitlement. I frankly don't blame them in a lot of cases. And they go back and see how, you know, working men and women in our military built that field for them and did it basically in 3 months and did a fantastic job. And I think it just felt the made the players just understand how fortunate they are to live in this country and be able to still play baseball at the highest level in this country. And I know a lot of those players were moved by the fact that the military had done this for them. When we always talk about, you know, we need to do more for the people who protect us and for the military, and here the military essentially did something for these players by giving them a place to play in a marquee game like that. That's what really stuck for me.
I've obviously asked you a series of questions, but I haven't asked you about the current state of baseball. I do want to get to that, just a couple, and then I'll let you go, and I appreciate the time very much. Between now and September 1st, right, when they're allowed to expand to 40, what are a couple of things that you're will be watching for in terms of either a closeness in a race or maybe a separation?
Well, I don't think we can take our eyes off of the National League Central just because it's probably our best race now, and it includes the Cubs. And the Cubs are, it's hard to take your eyes off of them still, given what happened last year and how they've kind of stumbled around this year, gotten hot and returned to the pack. And now that race is a three-team race, maybe four-team, and it's really, really interesting. So I don't think we can take our eyes off of that. And even though it's not the most noble of races, that American League second wild card race has eight teams in it. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And all eight are flawed. All eight has a hole. But this is why the wild card works. This is why especially the second wild card works, because these teams that are two games under 500, even three or four under, still feel like they have a shot. I think I counted out seven of those eight teams out of the playoff race at one point this year, and all eight are still in it. So I think we have to keep our eye on that just to see what team finally gets hot and takes that spot in the playoffs.
How difficult has this made decisions for general managers? Because as the second wild card available, you're still in it, but you have to assess as to the reality of it. How tough has that made decisions the last couple of years for GMs?
Well, it's made their jobs. Their jobs are really hard anyway, and the second wild card makes them much harder. But, you know, you look at what the Twins did. They traded their closer, Brandon Kinsler, and they're right in the middle of the wild card race. The Rangers traded their best pitcher, Yu Darvish, and they're right in the middle of the wild card race. So some of these GMs deserve significant credit for saying, look, we can trade a guy, we can help ourselves for the future, and we can still make the playoffs. And that's a hard thing to do, but it's made it very, very difficult on those GMs to ask themselves, are we in or out? And I think some teams said, all right, you know, honestly, we're out of this, and yet they're still in it. And that's what makes it so good.
The final question for you, it's going to deal with Rafael Devers. This, ironically, is the 50th anniversary of Tony Canigliaro being hit by Jack Hamilton. I was listening to the game that night. But all the records that Devers is setting with the Red Sox now all go back to the 20-year-old Tony Conigliaro in 1965. I know the league has not adjusted to him yet, and at some point, like Aaron Judge, they will. But what have you thought about what you've seen from Devers so far?
Well, I think the Red Sox have taken off, at least so to speak, since they acquired Eduardo Nunez, who brought some energy to that team and some fire to that team and a really good smile to that team. But I think it's taken off since Devers showed up, because not just has he produced, but he filled a gigantic hole on that team. And even though Pablo Sandoval, he's a good man, he just couldn't play for the Red Sox anymore. And I think just moving him out made everyone breathe a little easier. And when Devers came in and played the way that he did, I think a lot of them are looking at the way that Xander Bogaerts came up a few years ago. They moved him to a different position, third base, and they won the World Series that way. I think people in Boston are looking at Devers the same way, that maybe this is Xander Bogaerts all over again. And when he hit a home run off of Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning of that game, a 20-year-old left-handed hitter hitting a home run like that off of Chapman, I think all of New England sat up and said, wow, we've got something here, and he's even better than we thought he was going to be.
Tim, I know you always enjoy every baseball experience. Really enjoy this one this weekend. It'll be very special. Thanks a lot for your time. I know you carved out a good chunk of it for us today.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
Tim Kirchen from ESPN. All right, we'll take a break. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Okay. Hey, the eclipse is coming up on Monday. There's some that say this could be the end of the world. And I mean, if that's the case, do I have to go to Harrisburg tonight?
Last speaking engagement was in our state capital.
I mean, if it's the end of the world on Monday, then why do I have to go to Harrisburg tonight to talk about football?
Actually, you know, then your final speaking engagement would be in the room with all the rich people, and you're the poorest guy in the room. That's about when it's going to happen Monday afternoon.
Oh, so. I understand that, but first of all, that still means that the golf match is on Sunday, so there's no changing that.
No.
So that's still on. But I wonder if it's the end of the world on Monday, I probably just cancel out on this stuff, can't I?
I know, for one thing, I'm going to stay in a studio with no windows because I'll have the temptation to kind of peek out and look up, and I don't want to damage my sight. So I have too many great things I want to look at the rest of my life. But at least we're not in that quote-unquote line of fire that goes diagonally from the Pacific Northwest down to the Carolinas. So.
Well, first of all, I think State College is going to hit at 238, 239. That's will be the it'll be 77%. 77%. There's actually a website you can go to. If you type in your zip code, it'll tell you exactly what time the peak is in your area and what percentage will be darkened by the moon.
I'll tell you what, for the people that make those glasses, I mean, this is their Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
This is their Super Bowl. It kind of makes you wonder on Tuesday how many are going to be available at half price.
And for all the small towns that are in the line, they're actually doing really well in terms of tourism. People are going to those towns. They're flocking to them left and right. I mean, it isn't all big cities here. So small towns are getting people flocking to them left and right to want to watch this. Now, I'll be driving back during it. So, I mean, I'll just put my lights on and keep on going and then watch it on TV when I get home. But then again, I debated that. I mean, there are some naysayers out there that say, well, this is part of the end of the world. Well, if that's the case, do I have to go to the Harrisburg thing today?
So one of the biggest songs from the 80s that has Eclipse in the title is Total Eclipse of the Heart from Bonnie Tyler. She is going to be on a Royal Caribbean cruise on Monday performing the song.
And she's performing the song right when the eclipse happens over the cruise ship.
Yeah.
How about that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Very nice.
Unfortunately, the original members of Pink Floyd will not be together on Monday to perform Eclipse. That ain't gonna happen. There's still a rift between Roger Waters and David Gilmour.
And some of them don't know the eclipse is happening. All right, so...
So maybe while it's happening, I'll play Pink Floyd's Eclipse over on Eagle 107. Maybe we'll do that.
Hey, do that. Okay. Exactly.
Yes.
So, yeah, just so if you live in Danville, Sunbury, Lewisburg, right, Turbotville, wherever you may be, you want to know what time the peak is in where you live and how much of the sun will be blocked out, there's a website you can go to find that. You just type in your zip code and you're in.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.